Good morning, everyone. Happy Easter. Right, this is rehearsal. Christ is risen. Or Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. I've had chocolate for breakfast, so I'm in a real celebratory mood this morning. So I hope you all are as well. And how joyful it is that we can come and celebrate together the good news of God's love for each and every one of us. And we are called to be Easter people. As I said to my niece earlier, it's the only time of year, plus Christmas, that you can have chocolate for breakfast. And so we pray, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. We repeat our Easter shouts of surprise and joy again and again, for news of your victory over powers of death and evil is news so startling, so amazing, so different from the news that bombards us day by day. Beyond our comprehension, you startle us again and again with resurrection life, bringing grace and hope and joy. You, in your risen power, are shaping all our days, and so we praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's join with our Christian brothers and sisters all around the world as we celebrate Jesus' glorious resurrection. And so we sing, Hallelujah, Christ the Lord is risen today. If you weren't awake, you are now. Let's come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we gather together in the beauty of this morning, in hope of your kingdom coming, in reflection of your works of redemption in our lives, in anticipation of your triumph, and in the overwhelming joy of your resurrection. You bring good news to the poor. You release the captives. You give sight to the blind, freedom to the oppressed, and you proclaim the reign of God, even over death. In remembrance of the world made flesh, causing turmoil and confusion by letting evil do its worst, all to transform God's creation in the ecstasy of love, we gather this morning, celebrating the knowledge of your truth, to proclaim your reign over all and worship you. On this Easter morn, we welcome you, Jesus, into our lives. We welcome your resurrection for what it is, life-changing, life-giving, and life-sustaining. We welcome the hope that it brings to our world. We welcome the joy that it brings to our darkness. We welcome the empty tomb, for we know that it means that you are on the move. Lord, may your resurrection give life to those who feel lifeless, those who are just going through the motions. Lord, may your resurrection give hope to those who are stuck in despair, who feel hopeless and who have given up all hope. Lord, may your resurrection give joy to those who feel no joy, where their joy has been lost. May you be on the move in the world as the risen one. Glorious Father, you sent your Son to die and rise to new life in order that death might be ended and that we might live a new life in him. Yet we confess that we too often have chosen to remain captive, to doubt and to fear. And those are the ways that lead to death. By our thoughts, our words and actions, we have scorned your love, diminished the lives of others and spoilt your image in us. Father, forgive us for Jesus' sake. And enable us by his resurrection power to live no longer for ourselves, but for him who died and rose again for us. We are here because we are people who have heard a rumor that there is life to be found on the other side of death. We're here just as the rumor is enough to bring us hope, and that hope is enough to bring us a moment of life. We're here because even though it's only a flicker, a moment, a breath, it's changed our lives and death forever. Amen. Let's say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So we continue our worship as we sing number 453, Low in the Grave He Lay. Thank you. We're so familiar with the glorious resurrection of our Lord Jesus, through which we who believe receive the resurrected life, that sometimes we lose the poignancy of the event. The grief-stricken women who loved their Lord so deeply and had witnessed Christ's excruciating punishment and death had been prevented from anointing his body due to religious restrictions. But their hurting hearts and their hungry love that they had for their Saviour caused those women to rise early in the morning while it was still dark and hurry to the tomb to anoint his body with sweet perfume. But how their love was rewarded when they heard those earth-shattering words. He is not here, but he has risen. Don't you remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee? And so we'll come to that morning again as Debbie gives us our reading.
The reading is Luke 24, verses 1 to 12, and you'll find it in the Bibles on 1061. And it's entitled in my Bible, Jesus Has Risen. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they'd prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, to be crucified, and on the third day will be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all of these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened.
The first humans to share that Jesus had risen from the dead are not believed. The men don't believe. They think the women are telling them a dream, a fever dream, as it was called. It's not because the first witnesses are women, it's because of their lack of faith in Jesus. But later, the women, the men, and the church understand that it is our responsibility to share the gospel. Jesus is risen. We can't make anyone believe. But as Paul says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And having heard those words this morning, I want to live under God's new rules. Do you? And we'll think about that later. So first, can we proclaim number 278, I know that that my Redeemer lives. Let's pray. O risen Christ, open us to the power of your resurrection as we hear it proclaimed anew this day, that we too might rise to new life in you. Amen. What I love about the Trinity, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, is that they don't abide by the world's rules. They literally turn the world upside down. Now, I'm not, and I know you're not going to believe this and you're going to laugh at me, I'm not necessarily a rule breaker. Sorry, not sorry. It may sometimes seem that I am, as, you know, I sometimes take rules as suggestions or for guidance. But on the main, I feel that I do keep to them. I do like boundaries, except, as I've told you before, when you read the sign, keep off the grass, because that basically means step on it, doesn't it? Someone once said, every rule that God gives is to keep us in a place where we can experience his presence. Rules are not life, but they are boundaries that keep us on the path to life. And I thought that was nice. I like that. I can abide by those. Jesus didn't come to give us more rules. He came to give us a new life so we can rest in his grace. Quoting from Jeremiah 31, the writer to the Hebrews says, the Lord declares, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Through the righteousness of Christ, whose blood sealed the new covenant, we are reconciled to God, emphasizing the significance of his sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins and the establishment of a new covenant, a new agreement, a new policy between God and humanity. As we shared communion earlier, as we broke the bread, as we shared in the cup, this act symbolizes the pouring out of Jesus' blood as a sacrifice to seal that new agreement, signifying a promise of grace and forgiveness for those who believe in him. And that is why we celebrate. Can you imagine what it would have been like if the miracle of the resurrection, that first Easter, happened today? You thought about it? Imagine the world waking up to the news that the great teacher and famous miracle worker who died on Friday was now alive again. Now, they're headlines I'd like to see. But that's according to his followers. Imagine those first witnesses sharing this joyous news on social media. Can you imagine what your Facebook or your Instagram or all the others would look like this morning? Hey, guess what? You know, that guy, you know the one. He's walking around again. Do you believe it? No. Well, his believers, his followers say that he is. You can imagine the world's reaction, can't you? The skepticism that would soon follow. You know, isn't that fake news? You knew I'd have to say it, didn't you? You knew I'd have to get it in. BBC Verify would be going nuts. Have you noticed that every bit of news at the moment, we've needed to verify that to make sure it's real? Imagine all the fact-checking that would happen. The arguments, the demand for proof, the news channels interviewing so-called experts. Sorry, I sound really cynical, don't I? Has anybody read or watched The Case for Christ? It's a book or in a film made by Lee Strobel. He's a former atheist and journalist who did seek to disprove the resurrection of Jesus because his wife turned to Christ. And I'm not going to say why or what happened, but I did say a former atheist. But this resurrection is the foundation of our Christian faith, and I would recommend that you either read the book or watch the film. Because it's an amazing, if you're into trying to piece together how somebody could prove or disprove the resurrection. So maybe after all that, perhaps it was good that the first Easter did happen over 2,000 years ago. But then again, we think about the reading that we heard this morning. Didn't something similar happen on that first Easter? When the women shared the joyous news of the resurrection on that first morning, their words seemed to the apostles, and depends on which version you read, an idle tale, and they did not believe them. It went beyond the fact that it was a woman's testimony, because that meant nothing in those days. They genuinely were not expecting it, so therefore it couldn't be true. Easter, it seems, has always met with scepticism and, sadly today, apathy as well. It is hard to know what to believe sometimes, isn't it? Isn't it? Just checking those of you who've had an overdose of chocolate are still with me. I do think it's especially true in this day and age, whether it's online or in magazines, particularly front covers, or social media posts. Everything isn't always as it seems. So-called facts, as I said, need strict verification now, just in case they're not quite true. Do people really look like the pictures that you suddenly find on the cover of the magazine? Or has the airbrush come into being and made them look all glossy? And I often think now it seems easier not to believe anything that we hear or read. And then we come to the wonderful day when we gather to celebrate the glorious resurrection of our Lord and the loving presence of Jesus among us. We are here today because Christ is risen. But even here, shaped by our world, we can still sometimes wonder, is the resurrection really true? And if so, where is Jesus now? We live in a time when we're all taught to question and to doubt and to suspend belief until we have physical proof. And so I think it's natural that we only have to look at the reaction of the disciples on that first Easter morning and actually find some comfort there. Let's think about how to embrace the joy of the resurrection and live in its wonderful light. When the women came from the empty tomb to share the joyous news, Luke reports that their words seemed an idle tale. To be honest, if anyone was going to believe this joyous news, shouldn't it have been the disciples? Shouldn't it? Really? Just talk to me. You can. Hadn't they personally witnessed Jesus performing all of those wonderful miracles? The chosen were there when Jesus was transfigured on the mountain. They watched him walk on water and calm a storm. Even Peter had a go at walking on water. Didn't end well for him. They had, as recently in our metaphorical church calendar as last week, witnessed Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. And the Gospel of Mark records that three times Jesus told them that he would be raised from the dead on the third day. And here they are, on the third day, being told that it's true and still responding in incredulity. Why did the apostles find it so hard to believe? And I kind of think we can empathize with them, can't we, really? It's human nature to doubt. But what else is going on here? I do think that one of the reasons that the disciples found it so hard to believe was because it forced them to look at everything differently. Because we don't like change, do we? We want everything to be the same. Someone wrote, "Feeding the 5,000 is a miracle, but the crowd got hungry again. Raising Lazarus was a miracle, but Lazarus would still face death. But the resurrection of Jesus was different, because Jesus wasn't going to die again. And actually, in his death and resurrection, we too have the victory over sin and death. This is a fact. This is truth. And we have it all in God's word. Read 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter. Tells you all about it. The resurrection of Jesus meant that everything had changed. Remember I said, God turns the world upside down. It meant that God no longer plays by the old rules. The new rules mean that anything is possible. And if anything is possible, then nothing is certain. And accepting this requires not only faith, it requires trust in the one who is rewriting the rules. Do you remember playing games as a child? I know it's a long stretch for some of you, but do you remember? sorry, Brian. You played by a set of rules normally, didn't you? Yeah, but then sometimes, yeah, somebody would come along and they change the rules, usually halfway through a game, to gain an advantage, or in the case of my sister, basically to cheat. And it would end in carnage. Rules were and are very important. And if someone is going to start changing the rules midway through the game, then everyone else has to trust the person, or as we know, bedlam ensues, and my sister normally got battered. When God raised Jesus from the dead, he showed us that he is changing the rules. And that means that if we're going to stay on the one that we call the way, we are going to have to trust and have faith in him, because he is the rule changer. But what happens when we put our doubt aside and place our trust in the one who is changing the rules? As hopefully over these next days leading to Ascension and to Pentecost, we can think again of those first disciples. Firstly, we find them hiding behind locked doors in the upper room. What happened? How did they turn from fear and despair to confidence and to hope? Easter happened, and it changed everything. These apostles were radically changed by Jesus' resurrection. They left that locked room and shouted the good news even when it endangered their lives. They went on to live fearlessly, filled with joy and with hope. Nothing in this world could take away their joy once they had embraced and began to see that anything is possible in the light of the resurrection. They trusted the one who promised them eternal life. And they show us that we can be radically changed too and embrace the promises of God. Not just us, but those over the last 2,000 plus years who have placed their faith and trust in the God who raised Jesus from the dead, and those who are yet to hear the good news. We give thanks to those who showed us the love of God, and we accept the commission to carry the good news wherever God leads us, that they too may embrace the good news at the heart of this day. Embracing the resurrection changes everything. Now we trust and we have faith in God's rules. First, Jesus' resurrection means that God has changed the most basic rule of all, that everyone dies, but there is the hope of eternal life. And that means that there is truly nothing to fear in this life. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die." As Paul recognized God's rules and what they mean, I hope that we can pray as he said, "I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not doubt, not even denying Jesus." The disciples doubted. They denied knowing Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He appeared to them and dismissed their doubts and forgave their sins. That means having our hearts filled with God's love, no matter what we've done in this life. And thirdly, and praise God, there is now no situation in life that is completely hopeless. Those first disciples thought they were in a completely hopeless situation. Their master, their rabbi, was dead and buried in a tomb, along with it their hope. But Jesus' resurrection showed them and us that you can't bury hope when you have faith. Our hope is alive because Jesus will always be alive. Today we can rejoice no matter what is happening in our lives because Christ is risen. Resurrection takes the place of death. Faith takes the place of doubt. Courage takes the place of fear. Hope takes the place of despair. And a love stronger than death conquers all. So, though the world will continue to need fact-checking, remember, every rule God gives is to keep us in a place where we can experience his presence. Rules are not life, but they are boundaries that keep us on the path to life. The resurrection is true and it turned the world upside down. Believe in it, rejoice in it, and let your life be changed by this miracle. One more time. For Christ is risen. Amen. Let's pray. Today we find ourselves in a world where the inevitable no longer seems sure. And we wonder what else is made possible because of the resurrection. What walls will be broken and what darkness will be destroyed. What death will be shown for what it is, the possibility for love to come again. Go out into the world as people of God in this place. And may the God who raised Jesus from the dead grant you grace, the Son who gave his life for you peace, and the Spirit who is with us day by day inspire us to greater service, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. So continue to raise your voices as we sing number 689, Thine Be the Glory.
Thank you.
Just to say thank you to Joe, Tonya and the team for our breakfast this morning, and please feel free to come and join us for a cup of coffee or tea and whatever we've left. Let's pray. May the loving power of God, which raised Jesus to new life, strengthen you in hope, enrich you with his love, and fill you with joy in the faith. Amen.